a podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. This is Manna.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Manna podcast featuring ordinary men of extraordinary faith. I'm your host, Jeff Peterson. Now, none of the guys that you're going to meet on this podcast would consider themselves to be extraordinary, but it's their humble, holy way of living. That's exactly what makes them extra to me, and I am excited for you to meet them. All right, so you know the disclaimer that you often see on side view mirrors of cars, you know, the little fine print that says objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear. It's also a fine Meatloaf song, if you remember that. So either keep that image of the mirror or the tune from Mr. Loaf of that song top of mind, because I'm going to come back to it here in this introduction of today's guest. I met today's guest a couple of months and about 1,600 miles ago, way down in Phoenix, Arizona, when I showed up unannounced at our shared company's distribution center on a day in which he was the only one manning the fort, and he didn't know me from Adam, didn't know I was coming, and I didn't know what I was in for. But one of the literal first impressions made of our guest on me was a prominently displayed sign in his office that said Jesus, Prayer, and Therapy. And I just love those outward displays of faith, you know, simple yet courageous, especially, you know, if you think about it in a work environment. And that sign that I saw was quickly reinforced by the next hour of him generously giving me a tour of the facilities, which was so not what he had planned for that work day when he showed up at work that day. And before I left, somehow, gracefully, our guest introduced me to Stevens Ministries, of which he is a Stevens minister, and of which we will talk about a little bit later. But that's only chapter one of his introduction here today. Chapter two was written, if you will, in the very scheduling of this interview here, which had to be rescheduled a couple of times, not due to temporal silly calendar management, but because of his selfless care for others, notably his mom and unexpectedly his wife, which you know, those kinds of things don't always come in neatly scheduled time slots, okay? So, and then you throw in a busy Advent season, which we're almost completing here, his aforementioned work as a Stevens minister, and what I've quickly come to appreciate is an entire life that our guest spends in service to God and to others. And that sign I first saw in his office, you know, the one about Jesus, Prayer, and Therapy, that sign should have had a disclaimer underneath it saying, objects in this office are even closer to God than they appear, because he is, and we are blessed to hear more about him and his story today. Please welcome today's Manna man, Mr. Brian Cox. Hey, Brian.
Well, hi there, Jeff. Wow, that was a great introduction. You, yeah, you did me very well there. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, you deserve every single word and more of that. I just had to cut it off because I could have spent the whole time just bragging about you and just that first encounter and just how God is obviously working through. And I can't wait to spend this time with you. And Happy New Year, by the way. I'm going to date this a little bit, but for everybody listening, Brian and I are actually talking on New Year's Eve. So this is this episode won't air for a while until we're into 2024. But this is the last day of 2023. I can't think of a better way to spend it. So are you a New Year's resolutions guy, Brian?
No, I stopped making resolutions a long time ago. But after today's church service, I think I may make one though.
Yeah.
So become more involved in God's word and practice it openly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't imagine that you can amp it up anymore, but I can't wait to see what that looks like. And so getting into today, and eventually, Brian, I want to learn more, and I want our listeners to learn more about, you know, your upbringing and your influences and all the things that we, you know, talk about on Mana. But as my introduction introduced, if you will, you are currently living the kind of, you know, courageous, active life of ministry and service to others that is often, you know, for us adults, it's often marked by some kind of, you know, transformative event or journey or something that led you, that inspired you, to now be so inspiring for others. So let's maybe start there. How did you get us kind of caught up to how the Brian Cox I met a couple months ago and the Brian that you are now actively living out this call? How did it happen?
Oh goodness. Years ago, in 2012, my dad had passed away. And prior to his passing, he asked me to get more involved. Get more involved in the church. We'd been going to a church regularly, every Sunday. So I acknowledged that and promised him that I would try to, make an effort to get more involved and help increase my faith. And in 2018, I just kind of felt this calling taking place. And at my church, they have this Stevens Ministry program, and they had a table set up outside of the sanctuary and on the sidewalk. And I went up there and talked to one of the leaders at the time, and we kind of gave this some thought, and I was like, and I prayed a lot about it. And, if this was a direction that I needed to go. And a Sunday night, late Sunday night before the first meeting was to kick off, I received a phone call from a good friend back east in New Jersey. And totally unexpected, because it was about, near midnight, Arizona time. And so it was late there. And he told me that his mom had passed away that morning. Mm. And he had an urge to call me and let me know. And we talked for a bit. I helped him get through this. And we talked about faith, and at one point he had we worked together for many years, and he had walked away from God at one point, and we discussed that, it kind of brought things back into perspective for me. And that, I believe, that's my prayer was answered, with this phone call.
Yeah.
To become a Stevens minister. So in 2018, that's what happened.
Wow. So it was almost like you went right from, because had you heard about Stevens Ministries before that, or was that your first introduction to it? And then later that night, you're kind of doing the work that you had just been introduced to?
I was doing the work right off the bat, yes. Wow. Yeah. And I had not seen or heard or, even discussed Stevens Ministry prior to that in any manner. It's been quite a journey in these last 5 years.
That's fantastic. And so I looked in just a little bit, because I hadn't heard of it until I met you. So this is, it all kind of keeps perpetuating just from people, that are sharing the stories. But I looked into it, and it's fairly, gracefully, it's a rigorous kind of process. I mean, it's not something that somebody enters into and completes like lightly. Like, you don't just like, it's not like some online thing that you all of a sudden, a couple of minutes later you're certified. Talk a little bit about that, the time. I mean, it's quite a, as I say, quite a rigorous process to kind of go through that training, right?
Yeah, it was about 50 hours or more in training and exercise. We had some very detailed manuals that we followed, and And we put ourselves through scenarios, if you will, situations of that people would get themselves into. We were role playing, you know, with this. And the people we give care to, ministry to, we refer to them as care receivers. We're the caregivers. And God, of course, is the ultimate care fixer. You know, mm-hmm. we just help help these people walk alongside them. But yes, it's 50 or more hours of training. We go through a lot of exercises. Big thing is we're kind of known as the after people, because we come in, we'll come in and when your friends or your family have, you know, have left you or abandoned you, they think you should be over whatever you're going through. So we kind of come in and fill a void in these people's lives, if you, and just walk alongside them,
yeah,
and just listen to them. That's what we do.
Yeah,
you've got to be a good listener.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's such a great ministry. When going through those 50 hours and all the role playing and all of the, you know, even though you had, it sounds like you had a really strong with your family, a strong faith background, and now this was feeling like the direction that God was pointing you in. He had the big encounter with your friend, which, like, from the moment you started it, was it pretty much full steam ahead, or did you have any moments throughout that kind of training process, discernment that you were like, oh man, I don't know if this is really it, or did it just feel like, no, you're answering the call, and with each hour that passed, it just got more and more, you know, sort of validated for you.
Yes, it was definitely validated. It was from the start. It was go. I had no doubts whatsoever that this was the path I needed to take. And it's been very, very, very rewarding. You know, a lot of times helping others is not convenient, and in fact, in most cases, it's very inconvenient.
Yeah.
But we hope that in the end, it's rewarding for both parties, the Stevens minister and the person that we're taking care of. Yeah. It's been good. It's been a great journey. I've met some very interesting people. One of which was very inspiring to me. I met him in July of, oh, this is 23, I guess it was 2021. Met him in July of 2021, and he passed away into that December. And he was a paraplegic. And he's just an incredible, incredible man. No question about it. And he's just inspiring to everyone he met, including myself.
Yeah.
You know, it was an honor to have met him and to just be with him and up until his last days.
Yeah, that's good. So great. Do you find that the relationships, so when you're introduced to the care receivers, you know, they're obviously, you know, either in or coming out of a time of crisis, and they meet you as that, you know, sort of agent for God, channel for God, the ultimate fixer. I love that. Do you find that these relationships stay with you after, you know, that period of care, or have you had just as many relationships that, you know, you spent that time with them, they move on, you move on, or do you find that you are now with every care receiver, you're also gaining a brother or sister in Christ that you stay with, you stayed with to this day?
Absolutely, yes. I have a very good friend that relationship that developed out of giving him care.
Yeah.
Yes, it stays with you. Yeah, you never walk away from these people, I've learned to apply this ministry into my personal life, into a relationship with my wife, my family. and others that we meet. So it's good. It's a great practice. It's a great way to live. Mm. And it's very humbling. It really is.
Yeah. Well, and I can only imagine, I'm sure it does, both with the training and then just with all of the people that you're meeting and all of their different situations, all of their different walks of life. It's just the empathy or the sensitivity that it creates for you or anybody that's involved with it is something that can't help but then, you know, be applied outside of that actual work. You know, it's making you, you know, it's making you a better, you know, it, like you said, it's making you a better husband, a better father, a better son. You know, it's just, it can't help but enhance the overall living experience that you're having, you know?
Exactly. Right. Yep. It's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So tell me about your upbringing then. So to have your dad, you know, and one of his last wishes that you get, you know, even more involved in the church. I mean, it sounds like you grew up with a foundation of faith. But talk a little bit about that. Talk about what it was like growing up in the Cox household as a kid.
Yeah, we were raised in the church, brought up, and we had a great little chapel. It was Jacksonville Chapel at the top of this hill. And that's where we first started out in church. Sunday school, you know, pretty much the standard routine. I remember going there. My great grandmother used to love to go there at Christmas time because they would hand out these little box of star chocolates, and she just loved that. She was an incredible woman. She was a very godly woman. Read the Bible quite a bit, and I don't know. I think her, you know, she might have had some influence on my life in that manner. But yeah, we went to church. We were raised father and my mom were deacons and elders as we moved on to a different church as we got older. I participated in the church choir. I still do. It's music ministry is a great building block of faith as well. Nothing real out of the ordinary. We supported the church, and the church supported us in many ways. And I was involved in several youth groups and went to a number of revivals. There was a pastor at this one church who was very influential. I remember I got baptized as a teenager and went through confirmation in a Dutch Reformed church. That day was an incredible day. I felt the Spirit really moving in me as I was baptized. Then for some time, though, you know, I myself went astray, walked away for many years. And thankfully, with God's help, I found myself turning back, and God never walks away from us; we walk away from Him.
That's so true.
Yeah, yeah.
So true. So, who outside of that? So, if you think of the pastor that you mentioned when you were a teenager being influential, you know, and then like you say, for so many of us, you know, we end up, you know, I've always visualized our faith sort of. Our faith strength is almost like an EKG sometimes, you know, I mean, in other words, we'd like to believe that it's always knocking it out at a 10, you know, a lot of times there's ups and downs, you know, there's it kind of goes up and down or whatever, depending on the face of life, you know, so, but in retrospect, you know, you're able to cite this pastor as somebody who was very influential at that time in your life. When you look back now, even in those times, even in that period where you feel like you were maybe more removed, from, you know, a more active practice of faith, who were some other guys that you can now look back and say, okay, you know, maybe they weren't as obviously influential as that pastor back when you were a teenager, but just some other guys that maybe were, you know, influential, I don't know, role models, if that's the right word, but just guys that you can now look back and say, you know, even though I didn't recognize it at the time, you know, they were really, they were good influences. You know, they were, by the way they lived, either by the way they treated you as a friend or as you saw them at work or with their families. Any guys come to mind that were sort of sneaky influential in that period where maybe you didn't feel as connected to the faith?
Well, my dad, for certain.
Yeah.
He was very, very quiet, very polite. He, I don't believe, had ever raised his voice to my mom.
Yeah.
In the entire 50s plus year they were married. Yeah, he was a big influence in my life, my dad, for sure.
That's great.
And my mom's father, probably, I would have to say, my grandfather. He was a very generous and kind man as well. So I think, kudos to my dad, very, very kind and humble. And so I'm thinking, I'm hoping, you know, I've got some of their good attributes.
Yeah.
It's been passed down to me.
Yeah.
So, well, I love those guys.
Yeah, I think you do. And I think, you know, when you mention how, you know, God never goes anywhere, you know, he's always there. I think those are also attributes of dads and grandfathers. You know, they don't, and like you, you know, you're not going anywhere either, you know, and neither am I, you know, for our kids. And yet, you know, that's this pesky thing called free will that we all have. We have to kind of let that
gets me into trouble sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. What about you know, I mentioned that sign that I was introduced to the very first time I met you, and as I say, I love it when people are courageous about expressing, visually expressing, verbally expressing, just letting people know who they are. And I just thought that was such a, like, from the very first second, I was like, all right, I know a little bit more about this guy that I'm about to meet just by seeing that sign. How, for you, has that been, especially, you know, since maybe 2018, you know, when you started getting really active, do expressions of your faith, external expressions of your faith like that, do you have to think about that, you know, or are you sensitive to like, oh, okay, I don't know how this is going to land? Or are you just like, listen, this is just me, and like it or lump it, this is who I am? How does that factor in for you?
Well, I think people that I'm active with and get engaged with, you know, they know me, you know, and God knows me. He knows my heart. And I just, you know, I talk to people, my friends, about it occasionally, invite them to church. And so I'm very open about my faith, you know, with others, and no reason not to be.
Right.
The way that actually that plaque you're referencing was given to me from a friend of mine here at work. It's good, you know. It's nothing to be ashamed of, you know. It's
amen.
Exactly. Nothing to be ashamed of, you know. Just be, you know, we shouldn't boast of ourselves, but you know, we should be boastful of our work, right? That's how it goes. Yeah. So we try to. I try to apply my faith into my life. On a daily basis.
You're absolutely right. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's just it's who we are. Thank God. Literally, thank God. So, well, hey, we are already at the fun segment of the show, which I know you've been preparing for. So, the same three questions we ask every guest.
Yes.
And see what they have to say. So let's get into it. Fun segment question number one. If Jesus knocked on your door down there in warm Arizona, which is, as I'm looking out at the window here in Minnesota, we finally got snow here. It's December
3rd. Oh, good for you guys. Yes.
Finally have snow on the ground. Not the case down there where you are residing. So no. Jesus knocks under your door tomorrow morning, just wants to hang out for the day on New Year's Day. You have New Year's Day with Jesus. How are you going to spend your time with Jesus?
Oh, I would just like to somehow get him to a beach. Hmm. Yep. I'd like to take a road trip and just be with him and find ourselves on a beach and just walk side by side. And just would like to just talk to him, actually listen to him, anything and everything he would have to say.
Yeah.
And just be just absorbed by his presence. Yeah. You know? And that would be good. Was I had an experience in Hawaii a number of years ago, back in 2012. My wife had an unexpected retirement come about, if you will. So she wanted to take a trip, and we went to Hawaii. We went to Maui, and it was 4th of July morning. And I said, hey, I'm going to go down to the beach and just have a little swim, and I'll see you back a year later, and we'll get on with our day. Well, that almost turned into a disaster. I'll keep it short. But I found myself caught in a riptide and thought that I was going to be out there and I was going to drown and came very close to drowning, actually. And then my asthma kicked in and I couldn't swim back in. And I grew up on the Jersey Shore, so I'm very familiar with riptides and what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, you know, swim parallel to the shore, not, you know, try not to go straight in. And, but, you know, when you're in panic mode, you don't think.
Sure.
You just think. And so, I mean, I thought the time had come. I'd accepted basically the fact that I was going to drown.
Wow.
And I had this, Jeff, I had this peace that came over me that I never had ever felt before. And I was getting ready just, you know, to say goodbye. Close my eyes and go under for the last time. And I looked to my left and was just astonished because there had three red buoys out there, ball buoys, that's where they were using for scuba diving lessons. And here's this guy, just there. Like, where did you come from? Wow. And he's like, he goes, what are you doing out here? I was just, well, I'm about to drown unless you can help me.
Yeah, right.
So he's like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm like, well, why are you asking me?
Yeah, right.
So I just said, talk me in. Just talk me in. And he did. Wow. And he talked and he says, okay, come on. And I swam so hard. You know, and I was a good swimmer as well, but again, my asthma had kicked in, and I could feel my head pounding and my heart pounding, and I could hear this guy's voice, and I just followed his voice, and he said, "You're almost there. You're almost. Come on, you can do it." Yeah, I mean, he was like your coach, you know, just cheering you on.
Yeah,
and I hear him yell. He goes, "I touched ground. I touched bottom." And I was like, oh, man, he goes, come on, you got to go a little further. And all my strength at this point had drained. And my right arm came around. And this guy, he grabbed my hand and he pulled me in the rest of the way.
Wow.
We walked side by side up to the beach. And there was nobody around at this point. I mean, I was out there waving my arms. There's still nobody around because it's like 6:30 in the morning. Yeah. It's super early. And I said to this guy, I says, listen, don't go anywhere. All right. I just give me a minute to just kneel down and thank God that you came along it was just maybe a minute, if that. I didn't take very long. I stood up. He's gone.
No. Oh.
He's just gone.
Wow.
And I'm like, he said he was staying in the same room, but you know, the entrance to the resort, you know, was, you know, clear and wide open. Sure. He's nowhere to be found. He's just vanished.
Wow.
You know, and I could see our footsteps, you know, coming up as the waves, you know, came up onto the beach. I could see our footsteps where we came out of the water.
Yeah.
And I looked everywhere, and this guy was just, he vanished. And I thought, man, this was God. You sent this guy.
Yeah.
You know, and I look back and think about that moment, you know, sometimes on a daily basis still, you know, since 2012.
Yeah.
When I visualize it, and he was out there by these buoys, he was like chest out of the water. I'm like thinking about, well, yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah. Wow.
Oh man. So yes, the beach.
That's the best answer to that question I've ever heard. Yeah. I have chills. That is amazing. That is
the beach.
That is totally, he was an angel.
100%. Yes.
100%.
Yep. So I would take Jesus back to the beach.
Yeah, right. Oh my
God. Wouldn't have to be Hawaii, but just the beach. So we could just walk.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, I love that so much. Gosh. All right. Well, hey.
Ooh, that gave me chills too.
All right. Fun segment question number two. Can't wait to hear this one. My word, that was tremendous there. All right. So fun segment question number two. If you could go to church with any other man, living or dead, famous or not, anywhere, any church in the world, any guy in the world, who is that guy going to be?
I'd have to say my dad.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. I know he's seeing me now, watching over me. So I'm hoping that I have pleased him and that he's proud of my journey that's taking place. So yes, my dad, absolutely. He was an incredible man, still an incredible man.
Yeah.
Wow. Would have to be him.
And I think if your dad were to look back on the last 10 plus years of your life, Brian, he'd be like, okay, my son answered the call. Okay. You answered it and then some. So, all right. Last question. If you could give one piece of advice to a younger man about living the life you're living now, a powerful and yet humble, holy life of faith, what would just that, it's one piece of advice to a teenage kid, kind of back maybe when you were getting confirmed or baptized, what would that one piece of advice be?
To learn to live your life, not just exist. Live a life of gratitude, to live intentionally, make choices, choose things that affect their life positively, based on personal values and beliefs and goals that they may want to have and experience. Create, you know, build good habits and find your purpose.
Yeah.
And you can find they can find their purpose in faith, in God's word, and it's all there. It's all revealed. It's, you know, absolute truth, right? And just, you know, also have a self-awareness of what you're doing. You know, develop some self-reflection techniques of some kind. But just do things that are going to have a positive impact on their life, and that's what I would suggest.
That's well said and well lived. So I think that's great, and that's a great way to wrap up 2023 here. So I just want to thank you so much, Brian. It was so great meeting you a couple months ago, and I'm so grateful to know you, and now I've shared a little bit of your story with everybody out there.
Back at you, Jeff. Definitely. So hop in anytime. Don't be a stranger.
Thank you for listening to Manna. If you have any questions or recommendations for future guests, send them to mannapodcast@gmail.com.